It's Tom Douglas in the kitchen, wrapping things up here on News Radio 710 Cairo. Thank you for joining me. I met a young lady today. Her name is Elizabeth Yarnell, and she is down at Seattle Cooks. And we talked about her book, and it's an interesting technique that's involved in her book. It's called One Pot Meals, Glorious One Pot Meals. And I'd like to welcome her to the show. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Tom.
You made it back safely.
I did, through that rain.
Yeah, nasty out there.
It sure is.
So when I was leaving, you were just getting ready to go up and do your demo. How did that go today?
It went pretty well, except for a lot of people seem to stay home from the rain.
Yeah, exactly. It was a little quiet down at Seattle Cooks today. Are you going to be around there tomorrow, too?
I will be there all day tomorrow.
All right, so if you'd like to see a glorious one-pot meal being made down there at the Seattle Cooks event, which is in the bowels of the Seahawks Quest Stadium, we're all going to be there tomorrow. I think my demo's at noon or so, and what time is yours?
I actually don't have a demo tomorrow. I had one today and one yesterday.
Oh, okay.
But I have my booth, and it's right near the chef stage.
Okay, perfect. Anyway, tell me about one-pot meals and why it is that you patented this process for your Dutch oven and how you got rolling down that road and who you are and all those things.
Well, actually, Tom, I'm from Colorado. This is my first appearance in the Northwest. And I was looking for a way to eat healthier meals and improve my health because I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis about 7 years ago. And I wanted to eat healthier meals out of whole foods, but normally, you know, it takes forever to cook if you're trying to use real food from scratch. So my husband and I worked on this method, and we invented it, and I actually received a patent for it. So it's quick and easy and healthy, and it uses real food, so you don't get any of those additives, preservatives, anything like that.
And so that's a pretty big deal, getting a patent for a cooking process. I would imagine these things have, you know, there's been lots of cooking processes over the years, and yours was unique enough to get a patent.
That's right. It took 3 years for the patent office to actually process the application, but it came through. So I know that nobody else has ever done this before.
So tell us how it's done.
So basically, all my recipes use a cast iron Dutch oven, and it layers the food in a specific order, basically starting with the protein, some of the aromatics first, and then the proteins, and then the vegetables, with the root vegetables at the bottom, and then going up towards the lighter vegetables. And you put it all in. It takes about 15, 20 minutes to load your pot. And then you close it up, put the lid on, pop it into a very, very hot oven, 450 degrees for anywhere from 35 to 45 minutes. And it comes out, and it's a complete meal, and it's all served separately. So it's basically the opposite of the crock pot.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of putting everything in the morning, letting it simmer all day, and ending up with a stew, you put it all in very quickly, you cook it very quickly at high heat, and it comes out and it's nothing like a stew. It's really an entree, carbohydrates, and vegetable side dishes.
And so do you actually, when you take them out to a plate, do you separate them that way, or do you still serve it more all to the center of the plate?
Well, certainly when I'm doing a demonstration or I'm in public, I just pull them out separately because everything lifts out with tongs.
Mm-hmm.
It stays separate. Every piece, every ingredient maintains its integrity. But at home, I just take a big spoon and I dump half of it onto my plate and half onto my husband's plate.
There you go. So now, I guess we're going to have to start at the beginning on this. And you say you layer it. Are you going into a hot Dutch oven, or is this literally just right from cold?
Right from cold. In fact, you can build your pot the night before or the morning of, put it in the fridge, and put it directly into your very hot preheated oven, and it still only takes 45 minutes.
And I see on the cover of the book you show a shrimp and pasta dish.
Mm-hmm.
And now, are you putting the pasta in raw, or does that have to be pre-cooked, or how does that all work?
The pasta goes in raw, rice can go in raw, couscous, lentils, quinoa, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It can all go in raw. That's the only time you actually have to think about and measure anything that goes into a glorious one-pot meal. And I give you all the measurements. You just put in the exact amount of pasta or rice or what have you, dry good, and then the appropriate amount of liquid that's needed to hydrate it so that your pasta is al dente and it's not gummy and it's not crunchy and your rice is perfectly cooked and all the grains are separated, things like that.
Uh-huh. And so obviously cooking a shrimp doesn't take as much time as cooking rice. So rice would go in on the bottom?
Well, you know, with this cooking method, nothing is done until everything is done. So if you have rice in, it's always going to take 45 minutes.
Uh-huh.
No matter if you have shrimp or if you have steak. It doesn't matter. and the shrimp won't be overcooked because it's not done until the rice is done.
I don't understand.
I don't know how it works. I just know that's how it works.
So take me through this layered pasta then. So you put the pasta on, you put enough liquid in to hydrate it. Do you put your shrimp then on top of that?
Right. Well, the first thing you always do is you give it a little spray of oil. So with this particular recipe, you do a spray of olive oil. And then you would put your dry pasta in. You measure it out. I think it's one cup of dry pasta. And this one is rotini. And you drop it in, and then, or I think actually it's fusilli, excuse me. And you put it in, and then you add the appropriate amount of liquid, which I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay.
And it could be broth, it could be wine, it could be water, doesn't really matter, as long as it's the right amount of liquid. And then you would add the shrimp, because that's the protein would go next. And then some of the herbs would go in, which are probably basil and oregano. And I think there's some red pepper flakes in this one, too. And then you would go continue with your vegetables. And in this one, the root vegetable are carrots. So those will go in next. And then you would continue on up the line.
Well, what do you know? So, I don't know how to quite do that. It just goes against my nature to think that a shrimp, which I would normally cook in 2 or 3 minutes, would be just fine with rice that would take 45 minutes to cook.
I know. And what I like to do, like for shrimp, I like to use raw frozen shrimp because I think that cooks the best with this method. But you can certainly I have used the pre-cooked frozen shrimp, and that works okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used not frozen shrimp, regular shrimp, and that works fine too.
All right, so when we come back, I know my sister has MS, and so I want to get her one of these books because I think she'll be curious about that. But tell us about how MS affects you in the kitchen, and are there any other things you need to look at when it comes to eating foods? You talk a lot about whole foods. What are they? Why is that more healthy? Things like that. But first, we're going to take a break on News Radio 710 Cairo. It's Tom Douglas in the kitchen on News Radio 710 Cairo. My guest is Elizabeth Yarnell, author of Glorious One-Pot Meals. And Elizabeth, we're talking about how your patented technique of layering your foods so that you put the longer cooking items on the bottom and layering things up so that everything's kind of done at the same time in about 45 minutes. But we're also talking about eating more healthy, and you're certainly not shy about talking about your MS and talking about how part of the process that you came up with, this patented process, is due to the fact that you were trying to deal with your MS.
Yes, indeed. With MS, and MS is a snowflake disease, so every single person who has a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the common factors most people experience is fatigue. And that fatigue can make it really hard to eat healthily. But if you look at MS, the people who have a healthier diet do better in the long run. And this is something I believe that most doctors don't address as much as they should. And I'm a certified nutritional consultant, and this is something I've studied extensively, not only for myself, but for everybody who is dealing with managing a chronic disease or people who want to prevent getting a disease.
Mm-hmm.
And if your body doesn't get the nutrients it needs to function properly, it's going to try to steal them from other parts of your body, and that's going to cause deficiencies. And it could possibly cause problems. I don't know if that's why I got MS. They don't know the etiology of the disease. But I kind of think maybe the fact that my staple food used to be gummy bears might have something to do with it.
Oh, that puts me in some serious bad news.
I think you're a pretty good eater, Tom.
I eat everything. That's the problem.
So one of the things that I discovered in all my research was that MS patients do better if they eat whole foods, because whole foods actually contain all the nutrition in the packages that your body needs to absorb them. So that's why I worked on this cooking method, because I wanted to eat more whole foods. Now, with MS specifically, MS patients tend to do better if they have higher amounts of omega-3s, which here in Seattle, probably a lot of people eat a lot of fish already, mm-hmm. especially salmon, which have high amounts of omega-3s, and that helps really build and maintain your nervous system, which in MS is what's affected. But also there are other aspects to a diet that help you do well. Omega-6s are something that's quite overlooked. Those are found in things like nuts and seeds. MS patients do better if they have higher amounts of unsaturated fats. So I try to personally include more avocados, olives, olive oil, things like that in my diet. Those help build your nervous system, help your myelin sheaths, which are what are damaged with multiple sclerosis, but also with other diseases. People with rheumatoid arthritis also benefit from a similar diet.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people do, and I think in this country we eat way too much in general, way too much saturated fats and not enough unsaturated fats. So when I counsel people on how to improve their health, one of the things that I tell them is to decrease their saturated fats and actually increase their unsaturated fats, which is not something we talk about a lot, about increasing your fat intake. But if you eat more of the right kind of fats, it cushions your organs. It really helps everything move smoothly in your body.
Interesting. If you want to talk more with Elizabeth Yarnell, she's down at Seattle Cooks all day tomorrow. She has a booth near the chef stage. Her book is Glorious One Pot Meals, or you can go to www.gloriousonepotmeals.com and find out all about her. Your website is quite extensive, and you've obviously taken this you're taking this as far as it can go, it seems like to me.
Well, you know, I really feel like I got MS to give me a purpose in my life. And I would never have done this if I hadn't gotten this disease. And it's really given me something that affects everybody. And I can really talk to everybody about eating a better diet and a return to whole foods. And I love it.
Cool. Thanks for taking a few minutes with me, and I'll see you tomorrow down there at Seattle Cooks.
Thank you so much, Tom.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Bye-bye.